1 Kings 19, verses 20 to 21. Elisha's Calling, Part 2. Elijah has gone up to Elisha and thrown his cloak or mantle upon Elisha as he's ploughing. And Elisha has got the message. And the message is, come and follow me. Here's a transfer of power. You are to be the next prophet. Elisha got the message. Elisha knew what was being said. Now, let me just take this time to make the point. It wasn't Elijah's idea. It wasn't Elisha's idea. It wasn't some committee sitting down and drawing up plans. From beginning to end, it was God's purpose, God's notion, God's idea, God's plan. He was never stumped. He is never stumped. For the next man, Elijah is coming to the end of his ministry, and God is raising Elisha. It's not a committee drawing this up. It's God, and he's transferring the power, and that's what we need. Men raised of God, empowered of God, to do the work of God in God's time, at God's place. Of course, brother and sister, all of us in Christ are ministers of the gospel. We're priests of Christ, believers. The priesthood of all believers, yes. But let's pray that God will raise men and use them in the preaching of the gospel in the stated way, with power. We want this transfer of power. Only God can do it. Seminaries can't do it. Men can't do it. Colleges can't do it. Books can't do it. Training can't do it. God must do it. Now, Elisha gets the message. And it says, and he left his oxen. Or then he left his oxen. So he left his oxen. You see, he got the point. And it says in my Bible that he ran after Elijah. He didn't dawdle, amble, stroll, hands in his pockets, ramble down the hill. No, he ran after Elijah. He's eager. He's keen. He wants to get on with it. I think this is a great point. Last evening I was preaching on Luke 2, the shepherd's challenge. Is already on sermon audio. And one of the points about the challenge for the shepherds, they hear the angels addressing them, fear not, glory to God and so on. And when the angels have left, they talk, they're curious, and they say, let's go. And they run, they make haste into Bethlehem. They don't hang about, and nor does Elisha. Now, we sing about this, but my friend, is it true? How pleased and blessed was I. Isaac Watts is him. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, come, let us seek our God today. Yes, with a cheerful zeal, we haste to Zion's hill, and so on. Is there that cheerful zeal? Is there that hasting to meet with God? Is there that delight to run in the way of your commandments? I run in the way of your commandments, said David. It's full of it in the Psalms. The men of God are eager to get on. What can I do for God today? Elisha runs after him. Now he asks if he can go back and say goodbye to his father and mother, and then I will follow you. And then Elijah says to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Now, how do you read that? Is Elijah being cold to Elisha, or is he encouraging him to go and say goodbye to his family? Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. Or is there some other purpose here which I cannot see? But is Elijah in fact being cold, or is he in fact encouraging him and say, yeah, get on with it, and then we'll move on? But whatever the reason here, whatever the explanation of that, and I think it does tend to be an encouragement for him, yes, go and say goodbye to your parents, and then let's get on. Because Elijah went back, he turned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. He seems to make a feast. I would say that he's saying goodbye to his family and his friends. He's literally burning something. We talk about burning our boats. Was it the Romans? They burnt their boats so that they were never going to sail away again. They were here to stay. Elisha has burned not his boats, but his plough. He slaughtered the oxen. He says goodbye to his family. Matthew Henry says he didn't go to ask leave from his parents that he might go. He went to take leave. He was saying goodbye to them. He was taking up his cross, if you like. That's the equivalent of the gospel. Jesus says, he demands it of those who would follow him. Take up your cross and follow me. Get rid of excess baggage. We were in a Bible study yesterday afternoon in Hebrews 12. No excess baggage. Don't carry any extra weight. Lay aside the weight that easily besets. Don't try and drag this weight through the path. Make level paths for your feet. Don't make things difficult. Keep a clear eye, a good vision, and get on with it for God. This is Elisha. What can I do for the Lord? And he's up and about it. And so he follows Elijah. Then he arose and followed Elijah. Actually, some version has, so he arose and followed Elijah. He goes after him. He's had a feast to say goodbye, but he has put Elijah, God, above all, God, and the service for God, above his family. And now he becomes a great prophet, not a bit of it. And so he followed Elijah and served him. He became his menial. Let's get down to nitty-gritty. He washed his underclothes for him. He mended his sandal when the strap broke. He carried his baggage. He prepared his meal for him. He made his bed for him. He looked after the prophet. My brothers and sisters, in my small way, I want to pay tribute for those who, unknown and behind the scenes, are carrying the baggage, doing the difficult work, helping. We can be helps, my brothers and sisters. Even in the New Testament, there is a ministry of helps. And Elisha has to learn the menial task, and he seems to do it cheerfully. He became Elijah's servant. Not the great prophet yet, just an attendant, just a gopher, just a laundryman, just a baggage handler. You see, Paul had to go into the desert. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that can mean the desert, waiting. But Elisha is learning. He's not spending his time idly, I'm sure, with Elijah. They must talk. And what is passing between them? This man, Elisha, is being equipped for his great ministry. Brother and sister, I hope that these words of mine will be reaching some young people who one day soon will enter the public ministry of Christ, and these words may have been a blessing to them. He doesn't look back. He's put his hand to the plow, literally. No, he's taken his hand off the literal plow, but he's put his hand to the spiritual plow. And as Jesus said, don't look back. Go on. Now, Jesus makes tremendous demands. Matthew 10:32, Matthew 16:24. Family are important to us, brothers and sisters. But family must come second when it comes to Christ. I know what I'm saying is difficult. And I know husbands have a responsibility and fathers have a responsibility, mothers to their children and so on. And I'm not denying any of that. But in the ultimate, my friend, God must come first. And even in our family life, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. We must make sure that God always gets the chief end. It's God first, and then our family with it, as it were. But here is Elisha. He's left his family and his home. He's left his comfort. He's out of his comfort zone now, and yet really he is in his comfort zone because he's serving God. This is a challenge to me as a believer. Do I carry excess baggage? Am I eager to work for God? Am I willing to go on when things get difficult? Am I willing to do the lowly task? Am I willing to help and serve my brothers and sisters and therefore serve God? Yeah, wonderful words, I think, for the believer here. Challenges, comforts, encouragements. Will you receive them, brother? Will you receive them, sister? I hope I will today. But it's a word for the unbeliever, too. If you've been following these series of discourses, a few discourses ago, you heard me speak on how long will you dither and halt between two opinions. Are you still dithering, my friend? Well, let this call of Elisha challenge you. He heard the call. He didn't dither. He burned his boats, and he followed. You've heard the call of Jesus. I heard the voice of Jesus say, will you follow? What's standing in the way? Is it family? Is it oxen? Is it money? Is it power? Is it name? Is it possession? Whatever it is. What will have to go? Will Christ come first? Will you run to Christ? Elisha ran after Elijah. The shepherds ran to see the Christ. Will you run to Christ now? Will you come to him? Will you make haste to him and not dawdle and delay and dither any longer? Draw to Christ, I pray. I pray you come. I urge you, plead with you. Hebrews chapter 10, we are not of those who draw back. Oh, don't draw back. Come and follow. Elisha hears the call. He arises, and he follows Elijah, and he serves him. Hear the call of Christ. Come, follow me. The fishermen left their nets. Elisha left his plow. What will you leave? Will you come to Christ now? Come to him. I plead with you. Amen.